Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
I'd like to read an introduction to the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. As both individual Christians and as the church community, God calls us to be living stones, embodying the love and mercy of Christ in a hurting and dying world. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, rejected by mortals and yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you, then, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now are you God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you as we lean into your everlasting arms of life and love, and peace and joy. Amen. Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Why are you looking at me that way? Oh, it's next Sunday. Oh. Well, okay, I'm going to give a shout out anyway to all the mothers and grandmothers who have worked so hard to balance the home, to do the chores, to take care of children, to relationships within their families, teaching them about faith, and trying to live a life of joy. I want you to know that we see you, we know who you are, we feel you, and we honor you. We're going to do it next week, for sure. I want to tell you a funny story. The story of a little girl who asked her mother, how did the human race get started? Mom said, well, God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had children, and then they had children, and they had children, and so on and so forth, and here we are. So the little girl went to her dad and said, Daddy, how did the human race get here? He said, we came from monkeys and slowly evolved into humans and grew and more of us and on, and well, here we are. The little girl was confused, so she went back to her mom and she said, Mom, you said God created people in the garden. Dad said that we came from monkeys. How can that be? Mom said, well, that's easy. I told you about my side of the family. Dad told you about his. In all seriousness, parents all over the world have been killing it for the last 3 years as they keep their little ones safe in body, mind, and spirit. They are brave, and they have wisdom to share, and they have hearts of gold. They are indeed living stones and desire to create a legacy. This morning, I want to talk to you about being a living stone and leaving a legacy of faith for generations to come, which I know that she's getting right now from you. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus paved the way to victory. He was crucified, and then he was buried in the grave, and then he rose on the third day, and he said, "Because I live, you can live also." He won not just for us, but so that we can help other people win. The life we live and all the decisions that we make should make it easier for those who come after us. What do you think of when you hear the word legacy? What do you think of? Anybody? What do you think of? Pretend like it's a children's sermon. What do you think of when you hear that word legacy?
Memories.
Someone else said remembrances. Yeah. The scripture teaches us that we can store up mercy for future generations. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which the house of faith is built. He left us with mercy that would last into eternity. Now we must become the living stones for future generations. Now we can store up blessings and favor by living a life of blessings and integrity that will affect generations to come. I am here today because I had parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who lived their lives of faith. You are here because someone prayed for you, someone served, someone lived a life of faith maybe generations ago. Now they are honored because you are living that faith. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "The faith I see in you first dwelt in your mother, Lois, before that in your grandmother, Eunice, and now I can see it in you." In other words, what I see in you didn't start with you. It started with your grandmother, and now I can see it in you. And we keep going like that from generation to generation. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, "Well, my parents didn't do that. They had no faith, nor gave God the time of day." But you wouldn't be here today if someone, somewhere in your family line, even generations ago, didn't honor God. A treasure from the heart, you see, was passed down to you. There is an old tale of a story of a wise woman who was traveling in the mountains, and she found a precious stone in a stream. The next day, she met another traveler who was very hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag and shared her food, and the hungry traveler saw the precious stone, and he asked the woman to give it to him. Now, without hesitation, she handed the stone over to him. The traveler left, rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone's worth, and he knew it would give him security for a lifetime. But a few days later, he went back to search for the old woman and returned the stone to her. He said, "I've been thinking. I know how valuable that stone is, but I want to give it back to you in hopes that you'll give me something more precious. Give me what is within you that enabled you to give me that stone." You see, what this woman had in her is what the author of 1 Peter calls a living stone. It is what will live for generations to come. The author of 1 Peter is now addressing new Christians in the Roman province of Asia Minor, and they are facing social pressures and persecutions, but the letter urges them to live like Christ and to resist any temptation to retaliate against those who oppose them. Instead of becoming defensive and angry, the author counsels these fledgling communities to live so fully as an example of Christ that their community becomes living stones that will build God's church, not just in bricks and mortar, but in flesh and bone. In short, the author of 1 Peter urges these communities to be like the wise woman we just read about. She had the world's possessions within her grasp. Her own security in the world was assured. She recognized that if she was truly going to be alive in this world, she would need to give all that away. But instead of investing in stones in the world, she invested in that living stone that was within her. A stone of faith that gives life and security that the world doesn't understand and often scorns and persecutes and can never take it away. And it lives for generations to come. Now, it may have been 100 years ago that a great-great-grandfather or grandmother who lived a life of excellence, who planted a seed, and now God is rewarding them by helping you to live a life of excellence. In the scripture, Joshua and the people of Israel were in the middle of a great battle. Moses was on a hill, and he was holding up the rod of God in the air. And as long as Moses held up the rod of God in the air, Joshua and the people were winning. But when he got tired, he put his hands down and the enemy would start to win. Moses realized what was happening and he got a couple of people to help him hold up his hands in the air. Now, we would see when he held them up again that Joshua and the people would start winning. But what Joshua didn't realize was that the only reason he was winning was because Moses is holding up the rod of God in the air. Without Moses doing his part, Joshua and the people would have been defeated. It's easy to think, I'm successful because I'm talented and I'm smart. Yes, that may be true, but you didn't get there on your own. You are smart and talented because you had the wisdom of your generations past, your fathers and mothers past. It's been passed down to you. You are talented because your mother and grandmother developed gifts and taught them to you. They passed down the confidence in you. You got a break, not because you're lucky, but because someone in your family line honored God. Someone that you can't see is held up the rod in their hands. They won so that you could win. Here's my challenge for us today. Live your life in such a way that causes others to win. Every right decision that you make, you are holding up hands and making it easier for generations ahead of you. Be a living stone, building the foundation of your life on the cornerstone, which is our foundation in Jesus Christ. And every time you are kind and loving, every time you give someone something who is in need, every time you come to God in church, and in your secret place at home in prayer, worshiping God, you are storing up mercy. It may be for your children, or it may be somewhere 100 years from now. Someone in your family line will experience God's mercy because of the life that you live today. When you give, you're not just going to bless your life, but you will bless your children for generations to come. Even if you don't have children yourself, those in your family will be blessed. This is becoming a living stone for Jesus Christ. My uncle was a Baptist minister in North Carolina. He stayed in one church his entire ministry, Spruce Pine Baptist Church. He and my aunt influenced my life a lot. Despite that he wasn't sure what a woman was going to do in ministry back in the day, I was one of the first many years ago. I'm told by my dad He prayed for me while I was in seminary. In fact, he blessed me all my life, even as a little child. Before he died, he blessed me again during the time of my ordination. From the time I was a child, his kindness and his mercy and his love were deposits of mercy in my life. He filled my bank account along with my parents. And just like a bank account, everyone has a spiritual bank account by the kind of life that we live. You can store up mercy, and you can store up kindness and love and faith. So how do we make those deposits? By making choices that honor God. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, "Know before that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." 1,000 generations. When you come to church, you see, you are storing up mercy. You made a deposit by coming here today. When you forgive, when you overlook an insult, you're not just helping yourself, but you're storing up deposits of mercy. Perhaps you're struggling with addiction, but every time you resist it, you're storing up deposits of mercy. God said to David, "Because you have stored up mercy, because you have done your best to honor me, I will always look favorable toward your children and future generations." 1,000 generations. "And even if your children make mistakes and they get off track, I will not give them what they deserve, but will show them mercy because of the life that you lived." This is what God is saying to us. And I want to encourage all of us today, continue to make the heavenly deposits of mercy in your life. Make decisions that honor God. Even if your children are getting off course, continue to make heavenly deposits. God will do the rest. Maybe not in your lifetime, but somewhere in your future generations to come. Now, that sure helps me sleep better at night. As long as I'm doing my best and keeping God's commandments, making good decisions and deposits of mercy, God has promised that he will not only show me mercy, but will look favorably upon my children and the future generations. You know, you're not just coming to church or being kind to a stranger or taking the high road at work. You are storing up deposits of mercy, individually and corporately. As the church, the Holy One calls us to become these living stones, a legacy of faith for generations to come, just as South Britain has been here for many generations with faithful people who walked in these doors and worshiped and prayed and continued to make good decisions and choices in their life. That's why we're here today. That's why many of us will leave that same promise for future generations to come. We don't do any of that by forsaking, you see, the world that's next, or even by preaching and teaching that the realm of God is somewhere far away. We do that by becoming living stones in the natural and by following the patterns of that old wise woman, giving away all the love, all the treasure, and all the grace and mercy that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. She overcame all her fears because of what was in her. Faith in God, which caused her to make decisions of great generosity and forgiveness and love. When we truly believe that God's realm is not just in some distant future, but is right here and right now, yet not fully realized, we understand that the only way to honor God and all creation is by embodying a spirit of love and a spirit of peace. When we welcome others and give away this precious stone, this living stone of Jesus Christ, faith overcomes fear. Give it away. And even if the world stumbles and falls on this stone, know this, those who stumble over the living stone are ripe to receive God's mercy, making deposits of mercy. If anyone says to you, "You're still going to that church? You're still going to church at all? Singing in the choir? Teaching Sunday school? You're still doing that? You still believe in the church's mission in this crazy world we live in?" You can say, "Yes, I am. I am making deposits of mercy, and I know God promises to show me and future generations favor." So let us be Christians, Christ-living stones, ready to freely give to all what we have, and to be ready to bring the milk of salvation to those who will stumble upon us.